Alyssa Walker Campbell is on the air.
Asking the questions you want to know.
With sports' biggest and best name, Dallas Mavericks head coach Rick Carlisle.
And one of the ways you get high percentage threes is to get offensive rebounds and toss them back out. And if we don't get those rebounds, they're going to get them and toss them back out.
Now, rebounding is a massively important stat.
The fastest hour in radio. Big names, big sports talk. The Big E Sports Show, hosted by Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Alrighty, it is a full court press this weekend on the Big E Sports Show with our NBA coverage. We are going to take time to recap the draft. We also will discuss the 2013 NBA Summer League games that are underway in Orlando and Las Vegas. In fact, we have been on the road. We've got a lot to report on as we've been out in Vegas tracking the Dallas Mavericks. They have several impressive rookies we are keeping a close watch on with Shane Larkin and Ricky Lito and Gal Meckel. And we're delighted to welcome back to our program a wonderful guest, Bill Ingram, the senior NBA reporter with Hoops World and USA Today. And this is truly probably perhaps his busiest time of the year because you've been working hard out in Orlando. How are you doing, Bill?
Hey, doing well. You're right. This is it. I look forward to the season starting because I basically know I'm going to be home and I know what the schedule is going to be and who we're going to play. But when it gets to Summer League, it's a mash of, four or five games a day. Then you get to Vegas, it's 8 to 10 games a day. Fortunately, I'm doing Orlando this year. I pulled rank because the Vegas experience, it's nice to miss one for once. I've been doing it ever since they started doing Summer League there. So, your brain gets scrambled by the end of the day. You're not sure what your own name is, much less who you talk to. But, yeah, it is. It is. From the time the season ends, playoffs, finals, the pre-draft stuff, the draft, now this, it is. Anybody talks about the NBA offseason, I go, yeah, right. For me, I'm much more relaxed when the season's going on.
Well, I have to confess, I'm going to miss you out in Las Vegas. But, Bill, let's kind of step back for just a moment because a lot has transpired since we had an opportunity to visit in the month of May. All the verdicts are in with the NBA teams and this year's draft, the free agency, the winners, the losers. Of course, the big-name players have now made their decisions. But what were your thoughts on how the draft unfolded? How would you characterize it?
Well, it was surprising. And one of the reasons is because, the popular wisdom is that this was not a very deep draft, and it's really a draft with more complementary players than star players. Next summer's draft is like the end-all, be-all draft, one of those great, like the Hakeem Olajuwon draft, Michael Jordan draft, one of these that spawns multiple franchise players. But this year it was not. This year it was really about fit. So as guys started to drop, like Nerlens Noel, you're going, wow, I can't believe he's dropping on the one hand. But on the other hand, he doesn't really fit that team, and he's not a lock to be a great player. So you're really drafting for need. And, so Cleveland goes power forward saying, that doesn't make a lot of sense. But, not today. But let's see how the roster looks, with so much going on in free agency. This is the wait-and-see draft more than any other because it's not only about how that player does. And I can tell you here in Orlando, they're very high on Victor Oladipo, and he's looked quite good a couple of times. But it's not just about the player, but it's about the situation and what's going to be around him. Is he going to get a chance to play? And I'll give you a great example. Solomon Hill goes 24 to Indiana. No one had him on the board as a first-round pick. Shocked everybody. The Pacers' former GM texted me and was like, what the heck is that about? I was like, I don't know. But now that I've been here, and Kevin Pritchard, their current GM, he told me the reason they did it, because he had a promise at 31. He was not going to be on the board in the second round where they wanted him. So they took him at 24. So, okay, that makes a little bit of sense. Now you watch him play. The guy's been a stud here. The guy's been absolute. You'd think he was a top 10 pick. And you talk to him, and he has the right mentality. This is a guy that understands Orlando is that Indiana builds long-term and that they're going to develop you and they're going to work with you. And he gets, hey, Danny Granger, he's a small forward. Danny Granger is going to be a free agent next summer. Indiana's got Paul George, who's a small forward, emerged as an all-star. There's a very good chance that Danny Granger either gets traded or, they don't need him next summer. Now they need a backup small forward. You work hard with the right attitude and show that coaching staff that you're going to do whatever it takes to be successful the way Paul George did. All of a sudden, you're the next guy off the bench for potentially a championship team.
You're listening to the voice of Bill Ingram, USA Today, Hoops World. He's giving us the latest update on the Summer League play and performance. He is out there in Orlando, and that's what's so wonderful about Summer League, that it really does give you a true sampling, perhaps, of how these players are going to fit in. I have to share, since my opening question to you was asking you about this year's draft, I have to tell you, I was stunned a bit with the Cavaliers' selection of Anthony Bennett from UNLV.
Yeah, no question. That's what I'm saying. You look at that and you go, well, that doesn't seem to fit a need, and no one had him as the number one overall pick in their mock. The Cavaliers tried to trade that pick. Mm-hmm. They were working the phone trying to move down. So they would have taken him, but they wanted to move down and do it. And at the end of the day, they couldn't move the pick. They didn't want any part of Nerlens Noel, as you saw, quite a few teams didn't. That knee, there's something about his knee that's really Greg Oden-ish.
Well, he needs to bulk up, though, too.
he needs to bulk up, but that's not as much of a concern. He can certainly do that. But the concern is the knee. And reports were coming out that the knee is much worse than anyone's saying. So his stock started dropping. Philly's taking a chance. You give up an all-star point guard to get a guy who may or may not play, and you just spent a year with Andrew Bynum who didn't play. So, you know, it's a risk. But that's what I mean. Cleveland had their guy that they wanted. They didn't want to have to take him that high, so they tried to move down. But that was who they wanted. And so when at the end of the day, rather than take a flyer on somebody that they didn't want, they just took the guy they wanted. And in this draft, that makes sense because you just don't know. There are no home runs.
Well, Nerlens Noel, he was visibly hurt. He was snubbed, and he just kept waiting and waiting. He said, hey, you know, when given the chance, he's going to go out there and prove the teams that passed on him. But overall, when you look at the draft, who do you think was the most successful? Who got an A in this year's draft?
You know, there were a couple of teams. You know, when you talk about like Orlando, that's building long term, and they needed a young shooting guard to go with the young mix that's going to grow with the team. I like that quite a bit. But a lot of it again is going to be, you know, when we first did Indiana, the grade was a D for who they picked, Solomon Hill. Now I'm giving him an A because I've spent some time with the guy. He's fantastic.
Right.
So you know, this year's draft more than any. I can throw an A or B or C or, you know, and you can justify it, but it's a wait and see. It's going to be, you know, Michael Carter-Williams. He was the guy the Mavs had targeted. They thought he was the best point guard on the board. I don't know. I've watched him here. He's very high turnover. You know, maybe. Don't want to judge from a couple summer league games, but it looks to me like, you know, okay, maybe. He's very skinny. Trey Burke for the Utah Jazz. On the one hand, he's been great. Great pickup. He's one of the best point guards in this draft class, and he's played reasonably well here. But he's so small. So on the one hand, you think, okay, they're letting Mo Williams go, and they have turned the team over to the next generation, which they absolutely needed to do. Now the question is Trey Burke the guy? And if he turns out to be A+, because he's a smart kid, he's well spoken, and for a point guard, that's particularly important. He's got to be able to express himself. You know, and express what the team is trying to do and relate to the coach and relay the coach to the players. I mean, it's very important, and he is that. And when he seems like a great kid, really smart, well-spoken. Those are important things for point guards. He looks good on the court in summer league, but his size concerns. So a lot of these guys, you know, you look and you go, okay, hey, that'd be an A+ draft, but then he's playing in preseason, and you're seeing him just get destroyed by Derrick Rose and Chris Paul and Tony Parker. Then you're going, I don't know if he's the guy. Maybe he's the backup, you know. So a lot of these are really tough to really legitimately give a score to because so much depends on what they're going to become. This was the draft of guys that are maybe going to be good 2 or 3 years from now.
Well, since you're on topic about the backcourt, what are your thoughts about how the Dallas Mavericks, how things have kind of panned out for them? Shane Larkin, Ricky Lito, and Gal Meckel. I mean, what can we anticipate from these guys? Are these guys that, you know, you look for some significant production a couple years from now, or can they be immediate difference makers and perhaps even start?
Well, it's an easy grade for the Mavs. I have to give them an F because what you've done is you've signed Jose Calderon. Hey, I like Jose Calderon. That's a nice signing. That really is. But you just drafted a young point guard, then you've added two more point guards, then you signed Devin Harris. Okay, I like Devin. Everybody in Dallas likes Devin. That's his home, so it's nice that he gets to come home and play and live in his own house during the season. But Devin Harris hasn't really been good for like 3 years. He's really struggled. So if your backcourt is Jose Calderon and Devin Harris, you're going to have issues. There's not enough size there to stop anybody. And of course, with no center, I mean, the roster is such a mess right now. They've missed on everybody. They missed on Dwight Howard. He didn't even give them serious consideration. They even missed on Andrew Bynum. You know, and that's a guy that you'd think, well, hey, if Marks can open the checkbook and take a risk, which he needs to do, you better do it there. Bynum wasn't interested. So it's been very tough. But the way the roster is right now, you've got a whole bunch of point guards. Most of them are young guys that need playing time, and they're going to be good a few years down the road. Is that what you're putting next to Dirk Nowitzki, who has 2 years left? That doesn't seem like a very smart plan to me.
So as we look ahead, I mean, who can they sign at that five slot?
That's what I mean. I mean, they're talking to Samuel D'Alembert, I heard, which is ridiculous. That guy shouldn't even be in the league. He washed out. You start to look at the list of guys who are left, and it's going to come down to who's willing to take a check, which is kind of what happened last year. At least last year they got some good guys. You know, some of the, or at least named guys, Chris Kaman, Elton Brand, you know, Darren Collison, some of those guys came and took the money, but and O.J. Mayo. But now you don't even have that. It's very, very difficult for me to see. And we talked about this. At the end of the season, Jeff Kaplan and I sat down and looked at the available free agents, knowing that David West was not leaving Indiana, knowing that Chris Paul was not leaving, knowing that Dwight Howard really was probably going to choose Houston, then and Josh Smith was kind of the only one that was really in play of the four big names. And he took, you know, he took Detroit, I guess. We'll try to figure that one out later. But so who's left? You could have every player. You could have your pick. Jarrett Jack. I mean, you could have your pick of everybody left in free agency, and you can't put a playoff team around Dirk. And that's where they are. And they didn't get even Jarrett Jack, by the way. And they got Jose Calderon. Okay, that was a good signing. Everything else they've done. And this is not, I'm not saying this is the Mavs' fault, because to their credit, they have chased the guys. They tried to get Dwight Howard. They tried. It's not like they just weren't, you know, last summer they just weren't interested. This summer they were trying to get guys, but because there was no one on the roster, no one's getting excited about playing with Sean Marion and Vince Carter at the end of their careers, and Dirk, who's, you know, unfortunately, sadly, he's towards the end of his career too. So like Dwight Howard's looking at where can I win long term, and the answer is a young team with a young core that's still got upside, and you know they're still going to get a lot of play. So that's what it's been for Dallas. You know, not for lack of trying. Last summer I thought it was lack of willingness to commit, because they wanted to save money for the Dwight Howard, Chris Paul sweepstakes. But hey, you didn't have a plan B. There was no plan B this year. So it's awfully tough to ask Dirk to play out the season in a situation where he doesn't have no chance to be in the playoffs.
We are doing a full recap this weekend on the Big East Sports Show with USA Today and the senior reporter of Hoops World, Bill Ingram. We're recapping the NBA draft. The results are in, all the activity. We're also talking about the Summer League. And since we are on topic now about the Houston Rockets, boy, they do have a full deck. Jeremy Lin, James Harden, and Dwight Howard. Is it a stretch to say that they are a championship team? Because I think back a year ago, you know, when Howard went to L.A., and they said, you know, Steve Nash is on board. They got Kobe. They got Howard. Yes, this is the team that's going to win it all. And they faltered.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. It sounds good. You know, hey, Chris Paul's going to want to do this, and Dwight's going to want to do that. But Chris Paul's been saying for a long time he was not leaving L.A. And he's been saying that for so long. He's not like one of these guys that's like, well, I don't know. We'll see. You know, it's a business decision. And when the time comes, he's never done that. Chris has always been very forthright that I'm staying with the Clippers. I love LA. His family loves LA. I mean, we know him personally that you just knew there was no way. Ask anybody around Chris Paul, you knew he wasn't leaving LA. So to base your summer, to base your, when you're in a situation where you have a superstar player who has basically, I mean, he's not a superstar anymore. Dirk is a very good player. He's not a superstar anymore. And he'll tell you that. He's the first one to tell you. I'm a superstar in the fourth quarter. First three quarters, my body's not quite ready to do what my brain wants it to do. He needs to be the number two guy, and he knows that. He even said, get Dwight, I'm happy to defer. Let Dwight do all the heavy lifting. I'll create opportunities for him. That's what he needs. He needs to be the guy that is now the number two guy on a team that has a great number one guy. And, you know, the idea of just betting everything on getting a guy that every team in the league is going to want an audience with, it's just tough. And especially in retrospect, that's easy. In retrospect, to look at some things, but you let Tyson Chandler walk away for nothing. How much better were the Mavs last season? How much better if you have Tyson Chandler in place, along with Dirk Nowitzki, then maybe some free agents are interested. But free agents are looking at that team and going, Sean Marion is 2 years past his prime. Vince Carter is a couple of years past his prime. Although he looked good this year, Dirk is getting, you know, at the end of his prime. What's the future here? This is a skeleton. And so, as we've seen, free agents are choosing other places. And the Mavs are not the only ones. The Atlanta Hawks are in the same boat. You got the two of them couldn't put a great team on the floor if you combined rosters. So there's still some work to be done, but there just are not very good it's not a very good pool of free agents that are left to try to build any kind of a winning team with.
Just a few more minutes with Bill Ingram this weekend on the Big East Sports Show. I think one of the teams that certainly did just fine was the Golden State Warriors and Andre Iguodala for 4 years at $48 million.
Yeah, the thing, and one of their scouts is here, he's a friend of mine, he's been around the league a long time, he used to be the GM of the Milwaukee Bucks, and we spent about an hour talking about their team yesterday, and it's devastating to lose Jarrett Jack, but they knew, you know, Jarrett Jack played so well last year in the playoffs, it was time for him to get paid, and with so many teams with cap space, he got paid, and they understood that, but losing him was a blow. Getting Andre Iguodala certainly eases that. And they do plan to put the ball in his hands with the second unit, and that's kind of going to kind of be the answer because Andre's great with the ball, has a great feel for the game, and can run the offense. So I think that's kind of their answer. But, hey, you love that because, number one, you weakened an opponent because Denver's going to be it's a setback for them to lose him, and that's one of your potential Western Conference playoff, you know, one of the teams fighting for a playoff spot. But then, too, you get Andre, who is a good leader. They wish he would do a little more around the basket. He's as they put it, he's afraid to get fouled, so he does a lot of pull-up stuff when they wish he would attack. But other than that, he's great in the locker room. You know, he's a cerebral guy. He understands the game. You show him a play once, he's got it. He's going to come in and learn things immediately and really help facilitate the entire offense. And it, by the way, he's one of the best on-ball defenders in the league and one of the best, maybe the best pick-and-roll defenders. So, they're happy to get him. It was a great pickup for them, and not sure about Maurice Spates, but they'll be good with Andre.
Hey, Bill, we've highlighted a number of the players, but what do you think, and I wanted you to weigh in on some of the movement within coaches. Of course, Doc Rivers with the Clippers now, and Jason Kidd now as a head coach, and even Rasheed Wallace, the Detroit Pistons assistant coach, working for Mo Cheeks.
Yeah, I like, number one, the best move of the summer was Doc Rivers. Because the Clippers were not going to win a championship. They weren't going to win a playoff series with Vinny Del Negro because the guy is not, he doesn't adjust well. We saw, classic example. In the first round, there was one of the games, and I forget now, it's been 40 games ago, but DeAndre Jordan's just getting fouled. They're just fouling him every time. So Vinny Del Negro's answer is to have DeAndre Jordan continue to stand out of bounds after he's inbounded the ball, which is not legal, by the way. So instead of subbing the guy because he shoots 40% from the free throw line, whatever, instead of subbing him out and putting somebody in who can hit free throws, you leave him in the game for defense, but you tell him not to come inbound. This is not championship coaching. This is not playoff coaching. Doc Rivers, number one, he's going to immediately command the respect of everybody in the locker room without screaming and without talking about when I was a player, which was Vinny's shtick. He's a championship caliber coach. He's won a championship. He was an amazing player in the league, and he's been an amazing coach as well. So he's going to walk in. Everybody's going to respect him. Chris Paul couldn't be happier with the move. He's going to make the entire team better. And most importantly, when they're in close game situations, he's going to make the adjustments that win you the game, which is going to be a big improvement for them.
Well, they're certainly saying now that the Clippers are for real, of course, having Chris Paul locked in, but having that you're talking about one of the top three coaches in the league in Doc Rivers was absolutely huge. Well, Bill, we certainly appreciate you dropping by. And what can we look forward to? Where can we go online, find out some of your information, and what's going on at Hoops World?
Well, we are covering everybody at the Summer League, even the guys that you may not know. So if you're looking to see who the up-and-comers might be, some of those draft picks that we didn't quite know about on draft night, we're starting to figure out now that we've seen them and talked to them. We're doing video interviews with everybody, including we had Larry Bird. We've had Billy King, GM of the Brooklyn Nets. We just talked to Frank Vogel, who gave us some great stuff on the plans for the Pacers. So we're getting, executives, coaches, existing players who are here watching it, and the players from the draft that are trying to show what they can do and who they are. And whatever element of that is exciting, if not all of it, as it is to me. We're covering every single bit of it, hoopsworld.com. Make sure you're following me on Twitter, @TheRocketGuy.
Always some good stuff. Bill, we certainly appreciate you. I know this is such a busy time right now, but we appreciate you dropping by. Thanks so much.
You bet. Always a pleasure.
You bet. We're going to step aside much more straight ahead as we get ready to talk some college football here in just a moment.